Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. And welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm so excited. I have another special guest with me today, Lynn, and we are going to be talking about how one therapist uses mindfulness to address addiction and healing. Lynn Jimenez is a mental health therapist, yoga instructor, and most importantly, a mom. As a clinician, she specializes in the activation of the stress response system to include concerns with managing everyday stress, as well as anxiety and trauma responses. She has worked in K through 12 education, creating school-based programs to teach kids social emotional skills, such as how to manage their feelings and how to relate to them. As Lynn learned these new tools through her work environment, she would bring them home and test them on her three boys. She was blown away by the impact and founded Connect Flow Grow, and you can find her on www.connectflowgrow.com. Lynn, amazing. I am so honored to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, hearing my bio, I'm like, wow, who is this woman?
A wonderful, fire, fabulous warrior. I absolutely love that. And what an incredible gift that for you to be sharing all of what you have learned. I cannot wait to deep dive and to be also such a gift of creating these programs. I'm blown away. And thank you truly on behalf of our planet for all that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. And so to jump right in, what are some of these tools that you have learned in your work that you can share with us?
Well, I think I would probably start. So when I originally started, I would say I'm very, very logical and very like linear thinking. And so as a therapist, I definitely gravitated to things that felt very concrete. And that's just the way my mind operated. I wanted people to just tell me what to do and I would do it. And then I started noticing that that wasn't working. It wasn't working for me and it wasn't working for my clients. There was this like kind of plateau that I feel like we would often get to. And I didn't know what needed to happen to happen next for them. In my own life, I was practicing yoga and it changed the way that I was able to manage my own anxiety. My anxiety got like, I don't know, for me, it was pretty significant to where I was having like stomach pains and just, I just thought every day I would have to have chest pain. Like that was just part of my life. And so I kept practicing yoga and I started doing meditation. And then one day I was in meditation. I was like, oh, my students need access to yoga. Like they don't have the money, the resources. Yoga is very expensive. It's not really in the area that I was working in at the time. And so I was like, cool, I'll become a yoga teacher. So that way my students can get this access. I'll be the one that gives it to them. And then as that progressed, I was like, things were just happening very rapid fire. And I was like, there's more that needs to happen. And so mm-hmm. I was using, in school districts, we call it restorative practices. And so I would teach teachers how to put kids in circles, sit in circles in the classroom and just start talking, like getting to know each other. If something big happened or they wanted to incorporate what we call social emotional learning. So teaching about feelings and behaviors, they could do that in the circle time because it just creates a safe environment. So I come home and I'm like, all right, I got these three kids. Like they're such a great practice environment outside of school. So I would come home and use stuff. And it was just crazy how well they responded. One of the big takeaways was not asking why. So in restorative practices, when there's like an incident, then you don't ask why, because why immediately raises defenses. Mm-hmm. As a therapist, I tend not to. As a mom, I was asking why all day long. And my kids were babies at the time. And so they didn't know. But even when I would ask like a teenager or like when somebody asked me, why did you do that? Immediately, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know why I did it. Like, that's just what I know how to do. Mm. And now I'm having to rationalize or justify my actions or like this like instinctual pattern of behavior. So that was like one of the biggest takeaways. And so I incorporated that. And then, my kid's father and I are divorced. And so as we went through the divorce, I was like, okay, like, what is it that I want to put in place for our family now? How am I going to like transition them through this time? So we started having family meetings, and we'd sit in circles and we would do simple check-ins. We'd do some breathing activities because I really believe in like mindfulness and like connecting with their body and just teaching them how to calm their bodies. And then we'd do a check-in, and oftentimes we do, our favorite one is peaches and pits. So it's peaches are the things that are going well. Pits are the things that aren't going so well. And it would open a whole bunch of conversations up for us. And I got to learn a lot about my kids, a lot about like the things that they love and that bring them joy. And then I also got to learn about the things that they were struggling with. Mm-hmm. That same check-in is one I use at the, like the treatment center all the time. And I teach people to use it because going back to this idea of mindfulness is we're so busy that we're constantly distracted by everything outside of us. I mean, my phone's usually right by me. I don't know where it is right now, but like, God, I can spend hours on that thing and go nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I can spend hours emailing and reading books and watching TV, and all of that is external to me, and I have no idea what's happening inside of me. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing I'm seeing with kids, and the same thing I see with adults. And so there's lots of different ways to practice mindfulness, but like really getting connected to yourself in as many ways as you can fit into the day that feels sustainable, I think is a really good practice. And so all the tools that I use and that I seem to be drawn to are down that vein of like, I just want you to get to know yourself. I want you to like be connected to yourself. Yeah. And from there, I want you to be able to use that information in a way that helps you be healthy and happy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And there's so many things of all that you shared that as you're saying, what helped you realize things for yourself and your practice with your children, it's like this awareness is so beautiful. And I love how you phrased it, because I know that for me personally, this is number one. Like I will say this forever, that self-awareness is step one to healing, to learning, and to growing. And that is something that, you know, also as a coach, I truly believe in, and I saw it within my own life, that very similar to you, when I was at my peak of like states of depression, anxiety, panic attacks that were so crippling, I was not able to function. I also believed there was this like limiting belief that, oh, this pain in my chest, this whatever it is that I'm feeling, this is normal. And it's it almost becomes this comfort zone because it's a feeling of familiarity, and we become like addicted to that feeling. We want it more because it gives us certainty, because anything outside of that is scary. It's uncertain. It's the unknown. And we want to go back to those things that make us feel this familiarity. So I agree that like when I realized, hey, wait a second, I don't need to have this pain in my chest or this tightness in my throat, where usually mine was like I felt like I was going to throw up, and it was just so much stress that I felt in my body.
Yep.
That, you know, I can really relate to. And I love this, like the peaches and pit. I was able to see the visual to be like, okay, you know, and the thing too that came to mind, you know, is that with a pit, even if that's something that we're discarding, the beauty of like a pit, especially with, you know, with anything really, you plant it in the ground and allow it to grow into something else. So that was also this thing that just came to mind, was that even if we are evaluating things in our lives and identifying what's a peach and what's a pit, if we are discarding something, we realize this isn't serving me anymore the way it used to be able to take that and then plant it somewhere else to have it grow into something else. That's just literally just came to me as you said it, because I'm a very visual person. So I was like, yes, I see what you're saying.
Right. And it's like such a simple, I was working with a parent. She was like, gosh, the stuff that you teach is, she's like, I'm not trying to offend you. It's easy and feels so common sense. And I'm like, I don't take offense at all, because truly it is. And we've gotten so far away from the things that are just intuitive or easy because they feel too easy. We're just like this, like, right, this high achieving society. It's like, no, let's do the difficult things, or let's do like work really hard, and we don't have to.
Yeah.
Like that peaches and pit check-in, like you said, can serve so many different purposes. Like sometimes I keep it there. Sometimes I'm like, okay, what are you going to do to keep this positive thing going? Because now that you've recognized what's going well, oftentimes what I see in a lot of people is just like, ah, today was a good day, but people have no idea why it was a good day. It's just like, ah, it fell from the sky today. Look, lucky me. I hope I get another one soon. Mm. And they don't realize how much power they have in order to cultivate these good days. And so that awareness comes from that. And then on the pit side, like you were saying, is I'm very much, it's funny because me and my son once did the like half empty, half full glass thing. And I was very much like, the glass is half empty. And he's like, mommy, it's half full. And I'm like,
aw.
I know. But when I go to, as a therapist, I'm like, ah, I'm such an optimist. I'm like, everything is an opportunity. So like the pits, I'm like, cool. These are great opportunities for you to just see where the challenges still are, or patterns of behavior that used to serve you in some way that may not. It's not this like, it's not this trash that we have to like completely see as bad. There is probably some like good and something that served you in a way. Then now we're just figuring out how to shift it, because maybe
Absolutely. And so we talked about mindfulness, and for our listeners who either are not familiar with mindfulness or maybe don't know what it is, are you able to share with us what is mindfulness?
Yeah. I mean, mindfulness in like most simplest terms is just being aware of your state of being. There's people add on like being aware without judgment, which is like a great place to be, right? Like you don't want to be aware and like, you know, a little overweight. Well, why don't you exercise? You don't want it to go down like a road of criticism. So you just want to be this like objective observer, almost like when I first started meditating, there was this guide that was like, would explain it as like, you're watching it like a movie on a screen. And I love that. That really helps me disconnect from my experiences. So that is mindfulness, is just being this awareness of your state of being. I always teach it as taking it a step further, because like, cool that you're aware, but then what?
Right.
What are you going to do with it? And so, yeah, I want you to be mindful, but I also want you to be mindful with purpose. So what is it that you're going to do next? How are like, you, I don't want you to just sit in wherever you're at, like that maybe you're disconnected, or that you're happy, that you're feeling connected. Whatever it is that you're, is your state of being, I want you to be able to either make more of that happen if it's good stuff, or shift it if it's not serving you.
Wow. I celebrate that. And that's really resonating with me as well. And this question, why, came up as I heard you mentioning the example of like, why am I overweight? Right? Because it does go back to what you said at the very beginning, that we default to asking that question, why, and to be able to look at ourselves mindfully, aware, you know, with awareness, without that judgment. It's not the easiest thing, because we have been programmed to ask the question, why. We've been conditioned to ask, well, why is that? Why do I feel this way? And that is absolutely where I can speak for myself too, that the judgment comes in. Like, why am I thinking this? And that was always a spiral for me. That would take me down the rabbit hole into the next one, and then into the next one, you know? And it's just similar to how you say about the phone and how we can get lost in the phone. We can get lost in our thoughts. And the more that, you know, we continuously ask a question with the question, why, our brains, like as I learned through neuroplasticity and through the neurolinguistic programming that I'm learning right now, it's like wild to really know that when we ask ourselves disempowering questions, we will give ourselves a disempowering answer. But when we shift and ask ourselves empowering questions, we then come up with empowering answers. So to ask a question why with another question why will just keep us going down that, and then we will feel judgment towards ourselves. And there's nothing, again, speaking out of personal experience, I feel like there was nothing more disempowering than asking that question and feeling like it evolved into self-loathing. It evolved into self-hatred. I truly hated so many things about myself. And before I embarked on my self-love journey 4 years ago, there was too much judgment. So I hear you. And I really love that you're sharing this, because again, it's such an important message to really share.
Totally. And like, going off of your point is like, if you don't have that mindfulness practice in play, then you're not aware that you're going down those rabbit holes, right? Like you end up 7 rabbit holes later and you're like, how did I get here? Which is at the treatment center, like a lot of my clients, I'm like, you guys, I hear so often from people, either when they talk about their anger, they're like, I just went 0 to 100. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Most people don't go 0 to 100. You're probably hovering at 50 and you don't realize it. And so, yeah, it's a quicker jump to 100. So it feels that way, but you're just not aware. And so the more that you can become aware, the earlier you can intervene in all this stuff, whether it's those racing, obsessive, intrusive thoughts, or it's, you know, the physical sensations, whatever it is, you just need to pause and start developing that awareness and take it step by step.
Absolutely. And that's a really great segue into the next question, which is, how can we incorporate mindfulness into our everyday lives?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I teach it so many different ways. And I think it's, I would say people have to just really try a couple different ways, because the challenge that I've seen is they'll be taught one way, or they think it's like they put it in a box and then it's like, nope, this isn't for me. Yoga isn't for me. So at the treatment center, I usually teach yoga and then we'll do some meditation. And I'm like, hey, this doesn't have to be your thing. Like, yeah, I love to meditate and I love to practice yoga, but prayer can be your thing. And I'm like, you can literally sit and brush your teeth and do that mindfully. And if that is how you're going to start, then let your teeth brushing activity be the one where you're just like, you feel the sensation of the bristles rubbing against your teeth and across your tongue. You smell the toothpaste. You feel the foaminess in your mouth. Like, that can be your mindful activity. You can do it drinking your cup of coffee. You can give yourself a massage. You can go for a walk. And then you can just continue to build these practices so that way you incorporate more mindfulness every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, because the way in which you are giving options, I can even feel like my physiology shifting as you say that, because when we, it's like the body just wants to like exhale. So if, you know, any of our listeners right now are feeling this way too, like, wow, that was beautiful. Like, give yourself the permission to like exhale. Like, I, even now I'm like standing up straight, right?
Yeah.
What that gives you is option. Like, mm-hmm. knowing that there, as you said, there doesn't have to be this box, which I know a lot of people really feel like we have to be in a box, or it has to be this way because that's how other people are doing it, or that's how mm-hmm. we're told that we should do it. And then we start shoulding on ourselves, and it's like, mm-hmm. stop shoulding on yourselves. Yes. You shouldn't do things that don't resonate with you. You know, like if yoga, as you said, is not your thing, it's not your thing. That's okay. No judgment, right? It goes back to what you said, like giving yourself that permission to not judge. I will say that for me, working out is my mindfulness practice, that when I am working out, it's literally this mind body connection. And I feel like this confident, like badass warrior when I'm in a workout, because I'm able to really like challenge myself and honor what I'm doing with my body in the moment. So it's like, I don't usually pay attention to what this, like the trainer is saying. I have it on with the volume because there's sometimes music in the background, but I watch them. I follow Beachbody programs, but then otherwise I'm like in my mind being like, one more push-up. You got this. You're a badass, you know? And it's like that I'm mindful of like what my body is doing, where my thoughts are going. So it really, it is all about like how you incorporate the mindfulness in the things that bring you joy or make you feel like they're just resonating with you. So I love that.
Totally.
Yeah, great. And now when it comes to specifically mindfulness as a prevention for addiction, how can mindfulness prevent addiction?
Like we both know behavior is very complex. And so if there was any statement that I could say like with certainty would be that human behavior is so complex. And so understanding that it's complex and that there's so many different variables at play, what I have seen is that if people can become aware of their state, right? Like if they start practicing mindfulness, then they start recognizing those early warning signs. So oftentimes when I teach like just emotional awareness, like how do you become aware of, you know, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling angry, kids and adults, I will teach them to like, I have them draw a thermometer. I give them a printed piece of paper with a thermometer and I have them rank the intensity of that emotion and really start describing it. So they can understand like, okay, when this happens, this is what this experience looked like. So for people who are like, oh, I struggle with depression, that's why I use substances, or whether it's anxiety or whatever it is, then I have them really get an intimate awareness of that emotion in order to know how to start intervening again, because it's one thing that if you're aware of what is bothering you, because addiction is just maladaptive coping. It's a way of dealing with something that is unsettling to you. It's going back to what you were saying about the brain and neurobiology. It's this pattern of behavior that has existed over time and that might continue to grow. It feeds itself very easily because of all the like chemical benefits that we get very quickly. And unfortunately, usually like healthy coping skills take a lot more work. We don't get as much bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. And so there's just that awareness and then knowing like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And if I can catch it early, if I can understand, like, if it's my anxiety, that is my trigger. If it's this anxiety, then what does anxiety look like on a 0 to 10 scale at a 2 or at a 3? And so when I can catch it at that lower level, then I have the ability to say like, oh, okay, when I'm at a 2 or 3, I'm recognized. I know where this will go if I let it go untamed. And so I will do the things now. Like, I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to go take a yoga class. I'm going to call a friend. I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to manage my anxiety. And that's such a unique experience for everybody, which is why I think, like, when the other challenge with mindfulness is when we create these like boxes of what it looks like, and then people try and it doesn't work. It's such a hard place to be. So I'm constantly telling my clients, I'm like, please ask questions. Please talk about your experience. Like, you guys have the benefit here of being in a treatment program. So you can come back and say, that didn't work for me. This meditation doesn't work. And I'm like, in my class, ask questions. Tell me if it doesn't work. Like, I don't need you to tell me that my class was great for my benefit. I'm not here for my benefit. I'm here for yours. And so please, please, please ask all the questions. Tell me where the friction is, so that way we can kind of get work you through that a little bit, so that way it does work for you. Right? Like, you have to be mindful about your mindfulness. So it's like very meta, but
I know, that's so true.
But I think, like, right, because it's like you were saying, it's like people just tell you like, oh, do these 5 things, and you're like, I mean, I can think about it at the gym when they're like, oh, lift this weight. I'm like, okay, what muscle am I supposed to be using? Like, where should I feel it? I don't know.
Right.
And if I don't share that my experience is, then nobody can help me make my experience better.
That's so true. Absolutely agree. And really this, like, the umbrella of what I've seen taking all of what you've shared is like falls under being honest with yourself, that like, if we are not honest with ourselves, then how will we even become aware, and how will we become mindful? Because again, if it's, oh, I have to do this for mom, I have to do this for my spouse, I have to do this for all these other people, we don't ask ourselves enough times, like, but what do I want? What kind of experience do I want from this? What do I want to adjust? What is working? What isn't working? And being honest about what's not working. That took me a long time. I will say that I was very stubborn. And as, you know, someone who was really trying so hard to be this people pleaser, to be this perfectionist, to do everything the right way, to get the accolades at school, to get the, you know, praise, I was like, I still felt empty. Even though I graduated with honors and I did all these things, it's like, I still didn't feel fulfillment. And it's because I wasn't really being mindful. I wasn't being aware, and I was definitely not being honest with myself. So yes, like 100% to all of what you shared. Yeah. And so in terms of, again, the how mindfulness can help us heal, it's sort of similar, but if we were to sort of talk about how mindfulness can help us heal, would love to hear more of your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I think, like, right, like, mindfulness isn't going to change. Like, it's not a different type of mindfulness. It's how we apply it. So on the front end, to prevent addiction or to prevent any really dysfunction or disconnection, is like, can I practice these skills early on, knowing that this is the benefit that I'm going to gain? Or on the healing side, it's here's the area that I struggle with. And for some people, it's addiction. For me, it was anxiety. Sounds like for you, anxiety. There was definitely like some times where I felt like had some depression. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's loneliness, withdrawal. Like, everybody has their own struggle. And it's, how am I going to understand my struggle? And how am I going to start moving closer to where I want to be? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like reversing that, like, if you look at it from that thermometer or for like a continuum, or however you want to conceptualize or like visualize your challenge, now you're working backwards. And I think it was like a Gabby Bernstein book or podcast that I listened to, and there was something that she said that has stuck with me. At this point, I had been a licensed therapist for like, I don't know, 10 years or something. And she said, you know, you're not trying to just jump over the bad feeling, or it's like pass through the bad feeling. You're just trying to move a step closer to a positive feeling. And I was like,
right.
So I use that all the time. And I'm like, God, I'm a therapist. And I was like, I've just coached counseled people through like how to use coping skills. And I never put it in those terms for them. So I was like, I can do a better job, like by helping my clients know, like, all right, you're not going to go for a walk when you're raging and that's going to solve all your problems. You might feel less rage, a tiny bit less rage, and then maybe you can call somebody, or maybe that you're in a place to then listen to music to continue calming down. But there's this whole chain of events that usually has to occur when we're looking at, we're in the state of dysregulation or like dysfunction or impairment, whatever term you want to use, when you're in this place of where you need to heal from, you're just trying to like backtrack it. You're trying to rewire the brain and teach it new pathways. And that takes time. It takes lots of repetition in order for the brain to say like, oh, okay, when I'm sad, instead of doing this thing that I used to do, like retreating to my room and hibernating for days, I'm going to call somebody and seek support. I'm going to connect with a person. I'm going to go for a walk and get some fresh air. And you just have to do that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this also reminds me of what you shared earlier during our soul chat about how oh my gosh, I totally lost my train of thought because I have like three things that I wanted to mention. Because when you brought up Gabby Bernstein, I was like, in the last podcast episode, she was brought up in the discussion. So now I'm like, wow, the universe is like, I'm totally vibing with something. And like, we're talking about Gabby Bernstein now. And it was just like, I wanted to bring that up. And now I'm like, I lost my train of thought, but maybe it'll come back to me. But in any case, I mean, yes, 100% about the way in which, creating these new pathways. I think something that I was going to say is that I read somewhere that it takes however many like empowering or positive thoughts to combat one negative one, that like, if for example, you know, you post something on social media and you get people like, wow, you look so great, this is awesome, whatever it is, even if it's about your work, and there's one person, literally one, who says something that's like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that, ooh, I don't know if you should have posted that, we literally have that one thought spiral us down into those rabbit holes that we talked about, because it takes more for us to offset that one thing, because our brains are wired to think more disempowering negative things. So it takes us longer, as you said, to like develop those new patterns. And I think that, you know, again, being able to really talk about it, especially with a therapist, is so important, because I remember that when I was on Twitter, for example, like within the mental health community, it made me feel like a little hopeless to hear that people are like, I'm depressed and that's it, you know, like, or I'm in this pattern and that's it. And it's like, but I don't know about that. Like, cause again, I've had anxiety. I've been in states of depression. I've had suicidal thoughts. Like, I've literally been there and I remember what it was like, and now I'm not. So it's like, what steps did I take to get to where I am now? What healing did I do? What mindfulness did I take? You know, and it is empowering to hear that we have the power and the ability to change the brain chemistry, to change those pathways, and that through your support, through, you know, centers that people can go to where it's like one-on-one attention, it's like healing is possible, recovery is possible. And that is the mission of Found Family Podcast, is to bring this message of hopefulness from a place of learned helplessness and, you know, hopelessness that we come from. So I just wanted to really, you know, bring an awareness to that and just really honor what you're saying. And thank you for talking about this, because it's, again, so important for us to really know.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to talk about it, because it is like, I just keep seeing it and I'm like, okay, why are all these things coming together for me? And why am I seeing these same patterns, like from little babies into adults? Like, I'm teaching the same skills and I'm like, people just need to be aware that these things are not, it's not a different experience. We all have such a shared experience. We're all human. We all have very similar, we can't take away that we're going to feel lonely, disconnected, anxiety, depression. Those things can be unifying, not in like a way that I want to say, like, let's just like all sit around and talk about our depression, anxiety, but it can be unifying in the fact that like, we recognize that we all struggle and we can be compassionate to each other, and we can start creating communities where we can, again, seek the support, because it's hard to do it on your own, especially when you you're just kind of like taking these stabs in the dark, but the more that you can surround yourself with other people who are like, all right, I may not have the answers, but I'm trying this too. So I'm at least going to be here to be your sounding board or to give you some space to try some new ways of being. I can do that for you. Yeah. And I think that is also part of the healing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say that as an empath and through the community of empaths that I have been seeing and been a part of, I will say that for me personally, talking about my feelings, talking about my emotions is part of the healing as well, is that I'm very mindful that when I grew up in a space that didn't give me the permission to tap into my emotions, to really feel them. I remember I used to like pray to God that he would just take away my emotions. I wanted to be like a robot because my emotions triggered me and I didn't see them as a way to like really use them to show up for myself and to empower myself. They were disempowering and I just wanted them to go away. But now as an empowered empath, I'm like, heck yeah, I have a lot of emotions and I love all of them. And no matter what I'm feeling, and I celebrate that. And to be able to tie this into what you shared about how even within your own family, like you give your kids this permission, this safe space, like again, body, the physiology is shifting right now, like just providing this very safe space for them to tune into their emotions, to really feel their emotions and to express them and to share them. That is beautiful. And that is something that, especially for an empath, is so important. And what I can also share has helped me with personally, like in my healing. So I really, again, like love that you're sharing that.
Totally. And I mean, that's where it starts, right? Like for some of us, we have to go out and find our communities and find our village where we can be ourselves and express ourselves. And I wouldn't take that away, but if we can start shifting it to where the family becomes the place where that is created and that occurs, man, I want to be a part of that, which I mean, I obviously am, but that's why I started my business because I just see all these little, like these little babies. I mean, my oldest is 11 and he's still a baby for sure. And my heart, 16, my 16-year-old students were my babies too. But I just see them like, God, they just want to be seen and heard. And our feelings and our emotional landscape are all so different, just like we are. And all we need is just like some guidance. Like we just need somebody to be like, cool, that's what you're feeling. And here's what to do with it.
Yeah.
Great. That's what you're feeling. Here's what to do with it. Here's the boundaries for that. Like my baby's super emotional and like, not emotional, but he's passionate. He has big feelings. And so I love it. Like his big feelings are like so loving and tender with me. His big feelings also are the thing that like allowed him to throw a milkshake at the wall because he was angry that somebody took a drink before him. And so it's my job as his mom, not to shame him for that experience, but to be like, hey man, get it that you're angry. Here's like a collection of things that you can do when you're that angry. Throwing your milkshake at the wall is absolutely not one of them.
Wow. Yeah. And I hear you. And I think again, just beautiful timing to segue into the final question is, you know, what are some ways that we can begin incorporating all of what we've been talking about today? So these tools, the mindfulness, establishing ways to, you know, even that our listeners today can even start to implement.
Yeah. I mean, so like for like the solo person who just is like, all right, I want to do this. Like I want to start within myself. Journaling's amazing. I used to hate journaling, ironically, and now I like can't stop doing it. It helped when I was doing my yoga teacher training. There was this book called The Artist's Way, and that book shifted my life in many ways. But the one thing that I've taken away is they have you do morning pages. So every day you get up and you just start writing 3 pages. You cannot stop until you're done with the 3 pages. And so some of the stuff, sometimes there was like gold in there, and sometimes it was like me staring at the wall and I'm like, that wall's blank. Maybe I should get a picture. What picture would I get? And I'm like literally writing these things. But that helped me become really aware of what was happening in my head. And there was a lot happening in there that I was carrying around all day long. Yoga is great. Meditation is great. There's a lot of guided meditations. I would say if you're new to meditation, sitting in silence is going to be very difficult for you. So follow like a guided meditation. Headspace is how I started. Calm is another one that I've heard good things about, but there's plenty of stuff on YouTube. Those check-ins, like doing some sort of check-in, like having a check-in practice with yourself. Peaches and Pits, it could just be like every day you wake up and you say, like, how am I feeling right now? Okay, on a scale of 0 to 5, 0 to 10, how am I feeling? And just start rating that and just starting to understand your mood and see, like, all right, if I do this, do I feel a little bit better? If I go for a walk, am I feeling less anxious? Cool. That's a great thing for me to do. And then I love the idea of being in community. Like, we are humans, we're social creatures. And so for me, it's like me and my kids, like that's where, you know, like my primary focus on my community. But I also have several groups of amazing women that are like my tribes and who I go to, and we will just sit and like get really deep. And I definitely wouldn't be the woman that I am today without any of them. So whatever that looks like, the beauty of our online world is you can find that. I love actual FaceTime, but if that's impossible, then find a community, a very healthy, nurturing, supportive community that is going to let you be you, but also challenge you to be better.
Yes, I love that. And I totally echo about the communities, because I agree. That's something that I can really empathize and relate with, that I would not be the woman that I am today if it wasn't for the incredible support system of, you know, friends, that my found family. I mean, that is really why I called this found family, is because we are a found family outside of our blood family that, it's such a strong bond that, again, for people who, you know, my listeners know that I talk about narcissistic abuse and, you know, growing up in an environment like that where I didn't necessarily feel the same kind of connection with my immediate family, but that doesn't mean that you can't find family outside of your blood family. And I really want, you know, this platform to be the support system where we feel vulnerable to share our stories, to share about how we overcome, to give, you know, people very practical ways to learn, to grow, to heal. And with the cherry on top of knowing that they're not alone, that we are absolutely all in this together. And I love how you shared that it's like we are all in this human experience together. And while our stories can look a little bit different, or while our experiences can look a little different, we do have shared experiences. And to be able to really bond and, you know, just be there for one another is so important. And I, you know, have even some women that are like spiritual wellness entrepreneurs, you know, that I can brainstorm with and talk about. And, you know, that's also something that I would love to share with you too, because now I'm like that I've been trying to like create more of a community on Mighty Networks, and even for anyone that's listening, like really creating this environment where women in wellness also feel supported, as like
amazing.
We're doing our practices, we're doing our businesses, you know, like we're human too. And there are times where we feel anxious and we feel like, you know, to your, what you shared earlier about, you know, I've been a therapist for 10 years. Gabby Bernstein said something and it gave me insight. It's like, that's beautiful to be mindful, to be aware that even though we are therapists, we are coaches, we are XYZ, there's still room to grow. And to be very non-judgmental with ourselves, because I think that, you know, not more so, but people that have their own practices that are in like a people serving business, we put more pressure on ourselves to be like the one with all the answers, or the perfect one with, you know, like I'm in a position to help you, so I need to be the one who's equipped and has all the answers. But then it's like, well, sometimes I don't have an answer, and sometimes I can refer to a therapist. Sometimes I can refer to a friend. Sometimes I can refer to a whatever, you know, and just knowing that like we're all in this together. So I celebrate that and just wanted to share that.
Ah, thank you. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Ah, you are such a beautiful human inside and out. And I am so grateful for you. This has been so wonderful and so empowering. And I'm feeling like just even in this moment that I'm like healing and learning and growing. So thank you so, so much.
Likewise. Thank you. I appreciate you just taking the time to chat with me. I love to talk so much. And so, and to be able to talk about the things that I love. I mean, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Absolutely. And to my found family, please know that I'm going to have all of Lynn's social media, website, et cetera, in the description. If you're listening on the podcast, it's going to be in the description. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's down below in the description. The website again for Lynn is www.connectflowgrow.com. And Lynn, where else can our found family connect with you, support you, and reach out if they have any questions?
Instagram and Facebook.
Perfect. All right, wonderful. So that'll all be in the description as well. Great. Well, thank you again. Such an honor. I'm so grateful to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.